today. And we're going to play games as usual. Ashley, I don't think knows what the first one is. Have you heard the free association game yet?
No. But I think I have an idea.
All right. I'm going to say a bunch of silly words and you're going to tell everybody what comes to your mind. Okay?
Okay.
They're not bad.
Okay, cool.
Yellow.
Umbrella.
Food.
Chicken.
Are you hungry?
I am kind of hungry. Yeah.
Me too. It's like before dinner. Cozy.
Blanket.
Party.
Animal.
Forever.
Young.
Fly.
Fishing.
Okay. Story.
Book.
Scary.
Movie.
Not clown.
No.
We had an extensive clown conversation earlier.
Yeah.
All right. Weird.
Owl.
School.
Bus.
Hobby.
Lobby.
I feel like you think the way I think. Exercise.
Video.
Rain.
Fall.
Feet.
Shoe.
Yummy.
Cookie.
Travel.
Blog.
Pet.
Kitten.
Lunch.
Meat.
Outside.
Sky.
Summer.
Rain.
Candy.
Cane.
Nice. You finished.
Yeah.
Now we know the depths of the inside of you. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a lot of questions for 5 minutes. And your first question is, I don't know if this was your time. Did you have an AOL screen name?
I think I did. I think it was called like Purdy Ashes or something with like an X in between it. Because my grandma called me Ashes and my last name was Purdy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. What is your favorite smell?
I like honeysuckle.
If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
Like languages, I'd say. Like speaking languages.
Are you reading anything now?
Yes. I'm reading Do You Believe? And The Hole in Our Holiness. And I'm going to start another book. We'll see if that happens. I'm supposed to be doing 2 book studies.
What is the last skill you learned?
That's hard. I don't know if I've learned a skill recently.
Something fun about you is you're looking for classes around town all the time. Or not all the time, but every now and then.
Yeah, I do. So a skill that I learn. I feel like I'm learning things every day. We went to the Science Museum of Virginia, but that's not a skill. We saw the Body World exhibit, but that's not a skill.
That's fun.
I feel like I'm not really learning that many skills.
Maybe we learned like how parenting. To wrap. You took me somewhere. We learned how to wrap twine around a circle.
Oh, yeah.
And put dried flowers in it and decorate.
That was somewhat recent, yeah.
That was fun.
That was cool.
Do you still have it?
I do. Yeah, it's hanging in my bathroom.
Is there something people typically don't know about you?
Well, that I used to be a scientist. I think that a lot of people don't.
Do you journal?
No, but I've been writing like letters to my kids.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Last thing you watched on TV?
I don't watch TV that much, but I think I watched The Chosen. Yeah, probably.
Is there anything people sometimes misunderstand about you?
Well, I'm kind of reserved sometimes, so maybe that I'm not friendly, maybe. But once you get to know me, I'll talk. But getting there is a little hard sometimes. I don't know.
If you were going to write a book, what would it be about?
I think that it would probably be like something like a memoir.
Do you find the match for socks when you do laundry?
Yes.
Are you going on vacation this year?
Probably not any more vacations. We went on a trip with David's family to Tennessee, to the mountains. So we kind of already went on ours.
What is a place in scripture encouraging to you?
I'd say 1 John, but also Ephesians.
If I ran into you at a restaurant, where would you be?
These days it'd probably be Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
Popular with mothers.
Yeah.
Is there a lie of the enemy you tend to believe?
That I don't have any friends and that I'm alone when nobody really cares.
It's easy to go there.
Yeah.
Are you guys fixing up anything in your home?
We plan to fix up our bathroom and paint it, but currently we don't have anything that we're doing right now.
What is your favorite soup?
I like French onion soup.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah.
What's your middle name?
Morgan.
What are 2 other musicians you like to listen to aside from all the ones you shared?
So my playlists are really all over the place, but recently I've been listening to this singer-songwriter. Her name is Lizzie McAlpine. She's really good and just go-to favorite is like Iron and Wine or like Death Cab for Cutie. But I used to listen to more of that when I was younger. But I like Iron and Wine.
Exact favorite spot in your home?
My bed. Or like cuddling up on the couch with my kids.
Any human that changed the course of your life?
What if you were if I said David? Probably David. But yeah, or my mom.
If you had 10 times your budget, what would you spend it on?
Maybe like family trips or something like that. I don't know. Maybe traveling.
Do you collect anything?
Not really. But I think that it kind of counts. I'll keep like old cards that people give to me. Like I have like some cards from you and like, yeah, I'd say old cards probably from different occasions.
That's cool. Do you have a favorite TV personality?
I probably would have had a good answer back in the day. I'm trying to think right now. I like Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like, David and I have like sort of latched onto him and watched his shows over the years. And he seems like a really genuine person when he's not yelling at people. He has other shows where he's like a lot more down to earth. And apparently he has like 5 kids or something.
We don't watch a lot of TV, but my family, there's some chefs we really like to watch that are fun. Is there a tradition you observe in your household?
We always eat dinner together at the table. I don't know. We always pray before we eat. We always ask what the children are thankful for before we pray. So that's one thing.
That's great. What was the last thing you ate?
I just ate a cheese stick, but I had like an egg and cheese sandwich before I came here.
What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
I'd say like being married or being a mom.
What's your go-to breakfast?
Like eggs or cereal.
What book do you want more people to read?
I was thinking maybe The Great Divorce or... Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering meant a lot to me when I read it. So, by Tim Keller.
Okay, let's see. 2 words that describe you.
Cheerful and possibly spontaneous.
And hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. All right, let ditter motivate us. Okay. All right, Ashley, let's go to your garden and tell everybody the neighborhood you live in and how long you've been there.
We live in Forest Hill, and we've been there since... 2021.
Time flies.
Yeah, it really does.
Wow. All right, who's in your household?
My husband David, my daughter Emerson, and my son Riker.
How old are they?
Emmy is 4, about to be 5, and Riker will be 2 in September.
And how long have you been coming to Remnant? Can you count the years?
So since 2015.
And then what CG are you in?
We are in Josh and Stephanie Rollins.
Woohoo. Mm-hmm. All right. What are the desires and dreams that you have or plans that you have?
This section was hard for me. I could kind of relate to Deanna Williams when she was talking about her planning section because I feel like the past few years with my children being young, I've been sort of like living each day, like day to day.
Mm-hmm.
During the hard season, trying to, you know, each day is its own, you know, I'm not battle to overcome, but like it comes with its own challenges. So... there wasn't like that much time to think about planning, but something that's been going on, well, so main priority has been like stewarding what I already have. And
what do you mean by that?
So
that's a very specific choice of word.
Like my home, we, David and I, when we bought this home, never thought that we would be homeowners, just like, you know, taking care of my home and like taking care of my husband and children is like a big, I don't know, it occupies a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we've just been, like, working at, sort of that have been, like, going on in the background in our lives and just haven't really sat to, like, process. What are our long-term goals? Because we had, like, a 5-year plan or like a 10-year plan back when we got married and we were like, oh.
Did you
We
really?
Kind of did a lot of, yeah, we
Whoa.
Did. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do things, like, by a certain time.
That's
and,
not
like,
normal.
Yeah. Well, we, like, looked back on it and we're like, wow, God has really blessed us. Like, the fact that, you know, like, we bought a house. Backstory, David totally like switched career field. We never really thought we'd be able to buy a home. And now we have a home and we're like super blessed by it. And our children, even just the fact that we were able to have children is a blessing. And I don't know.
So you use really specific language there. You said stewarding things God has given me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was something really important to tease out that you see it from that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, just seeing my children as a blessing and not like something to like magnify me. Yeah, just seeing like every good thing we have is from God. Mm-hmm. Like every good thing is a gift from God. Not trying not to take like what we have for granted. Has been like, I've been reflecting on that a lot in preparation.
So. Yeah, so that's actually kind of what I wanted to ask you. Is that something that you've been recognizing more and more recently, would you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, in preparation for the podcast, I've been seeing my whole life has been sort of, I don't know, not that I have like a totally different perspective, but it's just been like very sweet to see, you know, things that like, you know, I used to struggle with and I don't struggle with them as much anymore. And just realizing, like, this isn't, like, stuff that I've accomplished,
okay, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So what was the next thing you've got? Because it's cool. There's four more things.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Okay, so teaching my children to know and love the Lord and to be thankful and awe of his creation. So just trying to infuse, like, every interaction I have with my children. My kids are really into nature and, well, my husband, we have a flower garden. And we're just outside a lot. And they're just so amazed by the flowers and the bees and the butterflies and just like making it known to them that like God is generous and his world is, I don't know, it's so rich and diverse and we can be thankful, you know, not like worship creation, but just see that it's a reflection of God and like the abundance. We didn't have to be, the fact that there's so many different types of insects and even flower varieties is just amazing and we're just learning a lot every day.
That's such a good point. Yeah. As you said, you have this flower garden. So if you're listening, don't think of what probably is a normal flower garden. Think of a huge, thriving flower garden because your family has a flower business. And David was even telling us the other day that they're like new flower varieties are being developed mm-hmm. all the time. It's mm-hmm. like, how is that possible? This world has been around for how long? Mm-hmm. And there's still more to be, I don't want to say created, discovered, like stewarded. Yeah. It's just amazing. Really, really mm-hmm. incredible. And then to the point where you told me a funny story today that your son loves nature so much that even a bee, he's like, oh, I want to play with that. Let me mm-hmm. grab one.
And Yeah, poor guy. Yeah, so we're just, I don't know, I just want to make it like so commonplace that we're like, you know, talking about God and his creation and like his goodness. Yeah.
So why did you choose, maybe it was not for any particular reason, mm-hmm. but I thought it was interesting that you put to love the Lord specifically as a thing that mm-hmm. you want to teach your kids.
I guess because I want them to know like the proper place of things and not to like get tripped up and just, I don't know, not just like love his stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, or just feel like, I don't know, it's his creation and like we're stewarding it. Like, it's not, you know, it's like a gift. It's not like, it's not really ours per se. Like, even our garden, like the fact that it grows and like is producing these flowers is like a gift and is like a miracle.
Yeah. I also thought it was cool that you put there that you're planning or you're just desiring to teach them these things. Was there ever mm-hmm. a point that maybe you didn't think about how you could do this?
I mean, it just seems like sort of a natural fit for this to happen, I guess. It's just like my background, like the flowers, just like our proximity to that. But honestly, I didn't really know what Emmy would be into. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of like amazing. Not that your kids aren't automatically going to be like interested in what you're interested in, but I think you can definitely like foster things. And it hasn't like not been a desire, but it's just been more sort of on the forefront because of like the age that she's at. And she's so curious. And mm-hmm. Riker has even started asking why, but I think he's just copying Emmy, but he's not even two yet. He's like, why? Why? So
I'm thinking about how just your background as an academic. Mm-hmm. So you maybe didn't approach things necessarily with that mm-hmm. wonder and awe of God's creation, but more like, you know, I've got something to strive for, something mm-hmm. to improve and excel at, maybe more personal to you. Mm-hmm. But yet somehow there's a new way that we've just talked about how God can change a person. But now it's like, mm-hmm. no, I actually want to show my kids this aspect, not in an academic way.
Yeah, like instead of using it to glorify myself or like themselves, to glorify God with our knowledge, not just pursuing knowledge for knowledge's sake, I guess, mm-hmm. to like share it and to like make your walk more rich and like deep instead of just memorizing facts just to know them, I guess.
Yeah.
Or to use them to like serve yourself for people to think you're smart or something. I don't want Emmy to end up like that because sort of that's like a ditch that David and I have both fallen into as we've reflected on like what we used to be like. And I mean, we still kind of are like that sometimes, but mm-hmm. but
I think that's even implicit in the flower business that you own. Like, you grow them to enjoy them, but you also want to give them to others. And it doesn't end with you. Like,
yeah.
They're meant to be put in other people's hands. Mm-hmm. And I was really struck with when David was telling me about how he took your children down your street with a mm-hmm. wagon full of things that y'all grew
yeah.
to your neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. At such a young age, they get to experience the joy of watching something grow mm-hmm. that looked like nothing, and then mm-hmm. it grew up, and then they got to walk down the street and knock on doors and participate in that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really powerful. I bet that yeah. will just, like, sit with them for a long time.
I hope so.
And just teach them to, yeah, be the generous people, like the way that you were saying you admire in others. It's like, well, actually, you are embodying that too, and you're showing that to your kids. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for showing me that. Sometimes it's hard to see because we just do it all the time. And sometimes David just feels like this need to, like, we need to, like, I can't just let these flowers sit. Like, if we're going to go out of town, like, mm-hmm. we want to give these flowers to somebody.
Yeah.
So they can enjoy them.
You want to share more with your kids. What's the next mm-hmm. thing you want to share with them?
I wrote, like, sharing my knowledge of biology, which that'll come, like, with time, like, the fullness of that and, like, the richness and depth. But I also wrote, like, fostering their different interests and aptitudes, like, mm-hmm. not just biology, but music. Like, music was a big part of, like, both of our upbringings, even though, like, I didn't really, like, formally train in music, but David was a classically trained saxophonist. I don't know. Just thinking about, like, how my kids are sort of really different already, which I didn't really believe people when they said, oh, your kids, they're different, and you know, they're going to be gravitating towards different things, but mm-hmm. it's really apparent at a young age. Riker's really into music, and Emerson really likes art. Like, she'll sit there and just draw and color all day long.
Yeah. So. That's why I think she connects with my Ivory.
She does. She yeah. loves Ivory so much. She thinks yeah. she's really cool.
Ivory loves hanging out with her. I'm sure yeah. that if you wanted to ever drop your kiddos
oh,
here,
yeah. yeah.
she'd love it. So do you plan on doing any brain dissections with them?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I haven't gone that far into thinking about that, but I've been thinking about, like, ordering owl pellets. I remember doing that as a kid, and, like,
okay.
that's more, like, accessible. So, like, owls, when they eat, like, a mouse, you know, they'll eat it with the bones and, like, the fur on it and everything.
Okay,
and
right.
then they'll, like, I don't actually know how they expel the pellet. I kind of forget. I don't know if they, like, hawk it up or they poop it out.
But
there's a pellet them? That has the fur and the bones in it.
Uh-huh.
And you can dissect the pellet to see, like, what it ate, to cool. see what the owl ate.
I think cool. I don't know.
I don't know. It sounds kind of gross, but I think that would be, like, a good entrance into, and you don't have to, like, kill anything to sure. do the dissection.
Mm-hmm.
Because Emerson, and I mean, I was like that at her age too, but, like, even putting a worm on a hook to go fishing, she doesn't want to do that. And mm-hmm. I remember being like that too.
I am that way. Also, yeah. I cried the first time I went fishing. Just Aww. Like cried and cried and cried and kind of had sad. To walk away.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reason I brought up the brain mm-hmm. is because you brought one to my house one time.
Someone's, I forgot about that. Somebody's that was so brain. Cool. That was so cool. Yeah, I only had access to that for, like, a brief amount of time.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I was a part of, like, some club in college that was, like, the neuroscience club or something. I don't know. Neuro nerds. Yeah, that's what we were called. The neuro nerds.
I wonder if my kids even remember. Like, maybe that experience was just for me.
Yeah.
I have never
They were pretty young,
it.
I think. Yeah.
I can remember it all.
Ooh, yeah. That was so cool. I forgot right. that happened.
I love what you said, though. You said just Well, you said supporting in the second half, but the first mm-hmm. one you said sharing. So just drawing out again, it's like you were in your mind, whether you even realize it or not, say, look, this is what I have. Would you like some?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so much of the way that we nurture them as mothers is to offer out in front of them,
yeah.
like meal after meal of all, not just food, but mm-hmm. literally food, but other yeah. other kinds of things. Is there anyone that you can think of that kind of did that for you? With mm-hmm. nature that maybe you hadn't thought about before in the podcast, but if you tried to search your brain, someone that's like, hey, mm-hmm. look at that.
I mean, honestly, my dad,
okay.
like, weirdly, so he's retired now, but for a long time has been working as not, like, just a handyman, but also he does landscaping for people. So he has a lot of knowledge about, like, different plants. Like, when we were driving in the car as kids, he'd be like, that's this tree, or, like, that's this type of plant, and it does this thing, and you don't want to plant it here, or I don't know, just, like,
yeah,
weird facts cool. about nature. And I just kind of took that for granted. Not everyone's dad's just like, oh, I know all these people. But yeah, so that's one person, but I can't really think of another that's more like related to, I don't know, like wildlife.
No, that's awesome. Something else that I was reflecting on in response to your, let me read again, sharing my knowledge of biology with my children, just as a Christian, how that expands the field, because you're not literally just saying, hey, here's this brain per se that's cut in slices and this is what it does. There's so much more that you can imbue in that. It's also, here are my limitations. I was thinking about, like, hey, we only have two hands, but what are they for? Hey, we have two eyes. Hey, we have feet. Hey, we have, as a woman, like two breasts, like, what are our limitations? But yet before God, what does he allow us to do when we trust in him? And I don't know, there's just so many.
I never thought about it like that.
Neat things.
That's a really cool idea.
To think about as you teach your kids, you only get this, but what does God say it's for? And then it just kind of exponentially go from there. Sometimes your kids, well, this is getting ahead, I guess, but it's good for them to excel and fail because we actually can't. They do need to know they have limitations.
Yeah.
And that's what we go to God for every morning is like humbly, God, help, you know? But anyways, I just think it's really exciting. And sometimes I miss having the little ones around.
Yeah, it is an exciting time.
So you have one more thing here, and you also use the verb supporting. What else are you supporting?
So our flower business, we have been growing flowers since, I think, 2020. But mainly I've been in, like, a support role. Lately I've been taking on, like, more of a role in helping, like, curate what flowers we're growing, like, at the beginning of the season. Like, even getting down to, like, the color palette and, like, we've learned a lot about composition of bouquets and things like that. You have to grow enough filler flowers to balance, like, the focal flower or even, like, the shapes of the flowers and how they all, like, interplay to make, like, a visually appealing bouquet, and helping with that aspect of the business. But long term,
are you talking, like, years of figuring these things out?
Yeah. Or? So when we first started, I mean, we kind of just grew, like, sunflowers or, like, you know, Mexican sunflowers. Like, we really just, we were novices, like, when, and David has learned a lot along the way. Like, he's the one with the green thumb and, like, does all the research. And with having young children, I kind of, like, had to be the supportive role of, like, okay, I'm gonna be the main one, like, taking care of the children while you're doing the planting of the seeds, or, you know, just there's a lot of little things that go into the final product. It's it's a lot of little steps. But eventually down the road, we both think it would be really awesome to have some sort of, like, wedding venue where we can, like, have a flower farm and then be able to use our flowers, like, for weddings, like, to bless people in the church.
That's amazing.
But that's, like, sort of a long term. But we've come a long way already in a few years, like, with our knowledge. And yeah. And I think the green thumb, that will always be there, but that's a huge component of it. It's like just finding, like, the land. But
so at first, though, you're saying this wasn't necessarily your dream. So what did it look like for you to kind of step as one?
So it's not that I don't like it. It's more particularly the interest of, like, the nitty gritty of, like, researching, like, the conditions that the flowers grow in and things like that isn't my favorite thing. But that's, like, the thing that David likes the most. Like, he really likes, like, this flower can't get too much moisture or it will rot. Like, the tuber will rot and it'll be ruined. And I don't know. The little intricate details are the things that David likes, but I've been more growing in how can we make these beautiful flowers, like, more, I don't know, showcase their beauty more by, like, not perfecting, but just, like, tweaking which flowers we're growing and how many to put in the bouquet and, like, what shapes and colors. I've been more of, like, the editor with stuff like that, even with social media. Just, I don't know, social media is also not my forte, but something that we've had to grow in together is how are we going to make this post make sense and also, like, appealing. In the photography aspect too is something that I've been growing in.
What is your business called currently?
It's called Dave's Flowers now.
You can find it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask kind of a funny question, but I love the word supporting that you put in the last two things. How do you see that as obedience to God? What are some things that you could maybe tease out specifically about being a mother and a wife that you find even your plans are like submitted to the Lord?
Yeah. I mean, I guess just doing work that doesn't glorify me or isn't, like, glamorous is something, or maybe even not like pleasant, but I know that it's good, and the whole point isn't for me to like, I don't know, be like fulfilled or whatever, or like do me, or I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been actually like more content in that. In the past, I've been sort of more like in the like our early years of marriage, I probably would have been like, oh, that's not fair. And I mean, sometimes I get like that. I'm like, you get to play with your flowers. And I just have to do this. But overall, like, we're working together. We're a team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like one of us, like, if one of us is failing, like, we both fail. Like, we're a team.
Right.
So we're like, we support each other in different ways. He supports me in my work, like, as a homemaker and a mother. It's not like I'm out on my own, like, doing everything by myself. So,
yeah, I think it was really important. I don't even know when this happened, but at some point in our marriage for Ryan and I to just make a habit just to keep even saying out loud, like, we are a team, and just to really promote that unity aspect in all of things. Because I think it really, temptation can happen sometimes to just sort of get in your own lane, or if you're not in the same space. What husband and wife really are walking around every day, all day, side by side necessarily, but just to see even in your separation, it's with the other in mind, with the whole family in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we definitely promote that. I even joked that this year that I would make like a family t-shirt. I don't know,
oh,
just for fun.
Cute. Yeah.
Probably a baseball tee, just so it looks a little
that's
more.
Cute.
So I, yeah, that's just
David
silly.
Actually had something like that in mind, but it was like pins or like family, like a not, what is it? Back in the day, it was like coat of arms or something. Like people had like family coat of arms, but
yeah,
he was
cool.
Thinking about something about family pins. I don't know. We'll have to talk to him more about it.
Like a patch or like
yeah,
a
like
little...
patches.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like Boy Scout or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, but that's more for like rites of passage for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought that would be cool. But I like the t-shirt idea. That's cool.
Yeah. I love it all. Let's talk later.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to sewing. These are the things that are newer in your life or at the beginning stages.
So recently I've been like reflecting more on friendship, and in preparation for the podcast, I've been reflecting on like my different friendships over the years and how maybe I was gravitating towards certain people that, you know, potentially maybe weren't the best people to be like spending a lot of time with. But also maybe the friendships that I have, like not being like the deepest or like not like building each other up, I guess. So I've been thinking more about, I don't know, being more intentional. Like instead of just being like superficial and just being like, how's your day? Or I don't know, like encouraging one another and like, I don't know, like speaking truth into each other's lives, even when it's hard. That's something that's been kind of difficult for me. Confrontation, and not that I do regret some things that I haven't said in the past, but I want to like be more intentional about like, you know, not being confrontational, but just like speaking truth and not being afraid of being bold. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Like not being afraid of like someone not liking me or like a friend being mad at me temporarily or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also seeing friendship as a gift from God, like that's been something that I've been growing in for a long time now. When I first started coming to Remnant, I was pretty, like, jaded about friends and just felt I don't really need them. Can't really trust people, especially, like, female friendships. Felt like maybe there wasn't a ton we could relate to each other about. But now I'm really realizing how much of a gift that is. And, like, my heart has really changed and softened. And
wow.
Yeah. when I think back at how I used to be, like, sometimes even when I interacted with you, I just feel so silly. I can just recall a handful of times when I was just being, like, haughty or even just felt like I was too good to need friends or too good to, like, reveal parts of myself that made me feel vulnerable and just wanting to seem like I got everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just say your heart's grown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd say, like, I've become, like, more tenderhearted in that way and more, just open to the possibilities of maybe friendships that I might not have considered because it's not, like, who I instantly am, like, gravitating towards or could see myself hanging out with.
Are you talking about trying to grow in spending more time with people or just approaching people or just actually having different kinds of relationships. What do you think is the new thing that God is starting to work into your life?
I think it's probably like deepening existing friendships, but also maybe being more open to also talking to new people. That's always something that I can grow in.
Yeah.
But I'd say more like deepening existing friendships and sort of like confessing sin to friends is something that I haven't really done a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So much in the Bible is there's so many places to go about friendship. And I was letting my mind wander to maybe some verses that I already knew. And then a funny one came to mind that Ryan said the other day that might be like coming at it sideways, but I think it's relevant. And he was talking about a proverb that was something about like it's God's pleasure to hide things, but the pleasure of kings, I'm not getting the wording right, to seek it out. And so it's basically talking about God hides treasures for us, like he means for us to search. And I was actually thinking about how friendship can be like that.
Yeah.
Like it's not always so obvious, but it is a thing worth seeking out. It's a thing worth digging for. And maybe, I don't know, some treasures are in caves or in dark, like you don't know. It might seem scary at the front of the mouth of it. It's like, what's in there? I don't even know. And when I look back over all the years that I've been at Remnant, I could just cry because, well, I am. But so many of my friends are people that I'm like, oh, that's a cave I don't want to go in. Like, I'm just going to walk right by it. And then if I hadn't had the Holy Spirit pressing on me, I would have missed like the treasure in so many ladies. And so I totally, but it's scary. Like I said, I'm using a cave analogy for a reason. But yeah. So yeah. Anyways, thank you for sharing that. And yeah, now my eyes are blurry and I can't
also
read. So you
it's
talk.
It's also scary. It's scary because you're being vulnerable. So if you never like, if your heart's just hard, and like you're closed off, you can't really get hurt because you're not putting yourself out there, but you can really get hurt if you put yourself out there and are a friend to somebody. You never really know, like God's in control, but you never really know like what can happen. But
I think it's gonna pair with something you share later now that I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. It is even just you admitting, or I don't want to say admitting, that's the wrong word, but sharing that you're recognizing God is growing femininity in you. And I think even for me, sometimes I just somehow put my nose up at anything that has like the whiff of like a feminine thing, just because I think our culture is like really speaks so loudly and wants you to be ashamed of anything like that and doesn't want you to be dependent and somehow not needing anybody and all about you, and God just has a better way that
but deep down everybody knows that it's not true, and like they try to go that way, it doesn't end well. And it's like clear like God's way is better, but it's like just hard to submit ourselves to that and feel like, oh well, I'm different, like I don't need you.
Well, has it been going well as you're stepping towards this?
I think it has been. I actually read a book on friendship this past year, but I can't remember what it was called. It was by a person who goes to a church in Richmond that isn't, I forget what his name is. I'm like blanking on the name, but Josh Rowland has mentioned him before. But
so
anyway.
He's the guy that does the like the family ways.
Yes, it's that guy. Yeah. It was about covenantal friendship, but basically like encouraging people to like sort of like make a pact, like make a covenant with a friend and like digging in like deeper with a small group of friends. And like, I read it with Natalie Compton and April Ebel.
That's so cool. Did you guys?
Well, we sort of didn't extend the invite, but we've been getting together, like us three ladies, recently. Like the past week when I was hanging out with them. That was what we were doing.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
That's a different idea, a different way to look at things. I haven't really heard that before.
Yeah, neither had I.
Well, one more thing on that friendship, because I really relate to you in this area, is that, so it's kind of a matter of trust because you want to obey God in understanding his design for us, that we're not meant to be alone. Like we're made for each other. We're made to love, be connected and all that. And so it's kind of a matter of trusting him. And so I was thinking about how even if we have small faith in something that God commands us to do, that's still good enough faith because it's Jesus is always the same size. It's not like he rewards us for having bigger faith or smaller mm-hmm. faith at all. It's he always gives us the same amount of himself, even the person with the smallest amount of faith. So that's just something that I want to pray to grow in my trust too yeah. in this area, is like, even if I have a small faith and just am leaning towards the direction of Jesus, like he takes it. Like
yeah.
he's going to roll with it, and he's going to be so pleased when we do that. So yeah. And anyways, after all, yeah, it's being filled with God's spirit that causes us to walk in his ways.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's not going to be like, okay, you get a little drop of me and yeah. you get a little drop of me. He's like, mm-hmm. hey, Ephesians tells us we get it all. Like,
yeah.
So yeah. All right. Let's talk about these letters.
Oh yeah. So I've been starting to write letters to my children, and I've been more intentional about like actually printing out all of the pictures that I have on my phone of my kids and like memories that we're making together. My mom actually wrote me a letter before she passed away that I really treasure, and I read it from time to time. And I don't think about my death like a lot, but I think about it a lot more than probably like your average person. And sure. just thinking about, you never really know how much time you have with your children, and just wanting to, even if it's just something silly that you remember about a time period with your children, or like yeah. a memory you have with them, is so special. And I don't know, just trying to take time to write that, even when I'm really tired at night. I like actually bought like these little memory book. It's called like Letters to My Baby, but it has like prompts in there, like this is what you're like, this is your favorite thing, or this is what makes you laugh, because it's things that we're gonna forget. Yeah. I don't know, even like different stages our children grow, and like they might not like the same things, or I don't know. It's been a huge blessing to have that letter from my mom, to like read it and feel, just remember her, and I don't know. Yeah.
What's something you're glad you made time for with your kids, even this week? I guess it's only Monday, but
like reading books to them. They both really enjoy being read to, even just little storybooks. I'm trying to think. They made a big fort today in our living room. Because Riker's been sick, so we can't really like hang out with anybody. So we've been like kind of a little hunkered down. But, and just every day, just like playing on the playset, they just have a ball, like just chasing bubbles. I don't know.
So you don't regret taking that extra time to write things down? Because sometimes that can be so tedious.
Yeah, it really can. But it's been easier doing like short letters. I haven't ventured into doing like a long form, but that would be something that could be like a longer term goal. But when my mom wrote her letter, it was over like several sittings.
Okay.
So I know she wrote some of it while she was traveling. She'd like start it like, hi again, or I'm writing from, you know, Chicago, or I'm writing from here. Just wanted to like, I don't know. And she'd like recall a memory and like write about the memory. So even something like that, even if it doesn't have to like be perfect for it to be like enough, you know?
Yeah. When did you start doing this, did you say?
Well, I started doing it when Emerson was a baby, but I just picked it back up recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. All right. What's something that is being watered in your life? Things you're actively tending, stewarding, or praying about?
Yeah. So this one, David and I have been talking about, you know, possibly having more children, and in my head, I obviously know my children are a blessing, but sometimes like when I'm extremely tired and just feel like I don't have more to give, I just feel like, how can I do this? God, like, give me the strength. I don't, even before we had Riker, I didn't really have a strong desire to have another baby, but like God grew that desire in me, and he's here, and I'm so glad that we did have him, but it wasn't easy, and I just want God to, like, water that desire in my heart to see. I obviously know children are a blessing, and, like, interacting with other people's children is a blessing, but I feel just, I will be very, like, far out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So just desiring to, like, have clarity on that, and right now, it's not like, we need to have a baby now, but it's more, we need to have, like, a vision of, you know, what our family's going to look like in a few years.
So you're saying it's been kind of a journey. Did you feel that way before you had Emerson, or?
I did. We waited a few years. I think we waited 3 years before we had Emmy. I think I always wanted to be a mom, but I knew from working at Grace Covenant at the Child Development Center, like, how difficult it can be. And that was just a glimpse of, like, just I felt nervous to step into something where you can't go back and your life completely changes. It's not your own anymore. And I was really like attached to like, I don't know, an idea of what I wanted for my life, I guess. And like comfort has been like a big thing just in the postpartum period. Like, I know for every woman it's hard, but I would experience like a lot of grief about like my mom not being there. And I don't ever think, like, I was never diagnosed with postpartum depression, but I definitely think I had it after Riker, and I had a lot of anxiety after Emerson was born. But just feeling like, God, how can I do this? How can we make this happen with like me not completely going crazy? I don't know.
Yeah. So you're saying this is more of an internal tension you have. It's not necessarily like cultural pressures of what women should be like or about kids or family. It's more internal.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah. I mean, I do sometimes feel like there's a little bit of pressure to like, just like more is automatically better. I feel like just like being around a lot of like large families. And like, I feel like we can, our family this year has really been like prayerful about like having our own convictions and not just like relying on, well, like, what is everyone around us doing? And like, why we need to have like convictions about like, why are we doing what we're doing? Not just like, oh, everyone else is doing
not
it.
Borrowing them.
Yeah. So, that's
hence the family pin. That makes sense. Yeah. I hope you all do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So next.
I feel like we kind of touched on like raising my children to know and love Jesus and helping them in their giftings. I'm not sure why I put this in the watering. I guess.
Well, maybe
it's like something that's like been in my soil. And yeah, I just want to like continue to like tend to it and like water it so that it grows bigger, I guess.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So how do you decide what matters?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's something that we're working through probably like as a family. Yeah. So I don't think we have it like all figured out right now. You mean like as far as like what activities to do and not to do, or like what to like cut out or continue to do?
Well, I think if this is in the category of stewarding and they're at very specific ages, then kind of like you even mentioned, you and David have to realize, okay, what do we have convictions about? So in a way that is you actually doing that. What is the core of the Sprache family that we want to start to show to Riker and Emmy and as a unit? So I feel like you kind of said that you were already doing that. Is there something that kind of bubbled up when you guys were having those conversations? Like, we really want to be people of, we want to look like this.
Yeah, we've been mentioning being joyful. Like, that's been really, like, on our hearts and minds recently. Yeah, just we want our kids to, like, feel the joy that we're experiencing and not, like, not that every moment is going to be, like, this is amazing. Yeah. But, like, just overall, that be, like, our family's vibe, I guess. I don't know.
Sure. How do you want to talk about the last one? Because you mentioned it already again, but I think there is still different aspects that we could tease out of here.
I guess just, like, cherishing my children, like, as individuals.
That's the way that I kind of saw it. So the last thing you wrote was helping my children by watering their giftings individually. So I was trying to think about what I could ask you, and I felt like it was almost like I could see your body getting down onto their level and just looking at them and just wanting to know them and not pass them by.
Yeah.
And that's where I felt you were going with that in this section.
Yeah. I mean, just like being excited about the things that they're excited about. As long as they're not like simple things, but like, you know, Emmy's like really getting into drawing and coloring, and just even if it's like the fifth coloring page, just being like, this is awesome. I don't know. I was going to ask you about that too. Just, I don't know. That there must be like a lot of like art making that has happened through over the years.
So much.
And it's like, Emmy wants to save all of it. And like, we can't save all of it.
So much.
Yeah. She's very like, treasures every piece of art that she makes.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah. So what did I used to do? I think I used to put them in like 3-ring binders or some kind of situation and then save them like 2 years down the road. Be like, hey, I need you to make this smaller. can you pick out your family? That's a cool idea. But wait a few years. Mm-hmm. And then they do start to recognize, oh, this is what I really loved. Yeah. Like, this is what was really special.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
And so 2 years goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's kind of what they did. Yeah. Have you noticed any of just things about them sort of connected to you and David in special ways at all?
Drawing and Riker's really tuned into music and dancing and, I don't know, just enjoys moving his body and, mm-hmm. I don't know. They're both pretty silly. So I feel like, honestly, Emerson's like a jokester and kind of reminds me of like a little bit of both of us when we were kids. Just like, I don't know, being too silly sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's such a, well, something that I'm learning as I get older is to really lean in and trust. Again, I'll bring up that word, the family unity aspect or the generational mm-hmm. aspect. Mm-hmm. Like part of me is in them. Part of what was in me was in my mom and it was in my dad and back and back and back and back. And that's not just a made up abstract scientific concept. Yeah. Like in Jesus, it means so much more in mm-hmm. God's economy. And so even I've been learning that even if my kids don't even fully seem inclined to certain things, that it's some like a seed that we plant that will probably come up later. For example, like we have a garden and I'm actually not very good at gardening, but I really have a, so for me, it's not so much the action of gardening. It's just, I have a conviction mm-hmm. about being interactive with God's world. So, but anyway, so if I were to put all three of my kids in a row and say, who's going to come out and garden with me? Hands down, Ivory. Mm-hmm. Like she's the one that actually was willing as a little kid years ago to grab a shovel and try to dig up grass to make the ground grow. She was way too small to have this big shovel. And she was like, I'm going to try. We're going to get this garden. But at the same time, I bet that Ava and Oliver will have gardens when they're mm-hmm. older because it's like a pattern that I'm showing them of mm-hmm. how to live. And I do actually ask them probably weekly, like, hey, come give me 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Come out with me. There's this short time. So, and so I think that I've learned now that my kids are a little older, like we just might be surprised. Like their inclinations don't always present
themselves.
Yeah, they
don't like surface right away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I don't know. So that's just been fun to see.
One thing I forgot to mention that, remember when I was talking about Emerson, like, loving babies mm-hmm. and, like, being, she's very motherly, like, and has been, like, at a really young age and, like, just trying to foster that and not, like, try to, like, not, like, lure her away or, like, that's not good enough or, like, that's not a worthy, like, calling.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. That's something that, like you were saying with the generational thing, my mom apparently, like, when they asked her when she was a little girl what she wanted to be, she's like, I want to be a mommy. Yeah. And she said, I want to have big boobies and be a mommy. So, like, you know, Emerson, yeah, like the whole generational maybe giftings.
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, sometimes even just the fun part of being a parent is growing an interest myself and saying, mm-hmm. like, come along with me and let me show you what it means to care about something, or let me show you what it means to not give up on something or to do something when it's hard. Like that's definitely been exercise. They've mm-hmm. seen me like say, I don't want to do this, but I know it's good.
Yeah.
But also something interesting about this aspect is again, raising kids, like giftings aren't character mm-hmm. at the same time. So it's,
Yeah, I guess I didn't mention that. I mean, I guess that was sort of, I thought that was sort of maybe like too obvious to write in here, but mm-hmm. that's just a daily basis thing that we're doing is like encouraging them to walk in certain ways and like this is like a godly way to walk and this is not like you can't hit your brother. It just feels like that's just so I guess I was thinking more like up in the clouds maybe and not like down to earth. I don't know why I didn't put that in there, but I guess I just thought it was too obvious to address. Well, but no. Like it's like definitely like takes up a lot of our conversations and just what we do mm-hmm. on the day-to-day.
Well, like, something I've noticed is that you have found it, your family has found it important to teach your kids scripture from a young age. Mm-hmm. I don't know, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's something that we started doing. I think that David talked to Josh Roland about it and we were doing like liturgies during dinner and it ended up we were really consistent, but we had to, like, realize, like, our children's frames and, like, they're still so young. That, mm-hmm. like, we were kind of trying to jam pack a lot into dinner time, and it was like wasn't leaving a lot of time for just like conversation and like spontaneous like conversation to happen. So mm-hmm. we're trying to strike a balance, but we do like we've been reading the Jesus Storybook Bible. Like we pretty much read it like after we sit down and like pray and eat dinner for a little bit. Like we always read that, and if we don't read it, Rico will be like Bible. So it's definitely a balance because we're constantly growing.
You guys are doing a great job. Your kids are awesome.
Thanks.
So let's go to that stuff that doesn't feel so great, but it is good. Is God training you or pruning you in any way?
Okay. So one thing that's kind of always been going on in the background, like, of my, like, relationship with David and just, like, my walk in general has been I have not always been disciplined with my finances, and just I think my, like, view of money has been, like, warped just from a young age, and just trying to see it as resources that we're stewarding and not just, like, things that we can, like, just money that we can use to spend however we want, like, mm-hmm. for whatever we want. It's, like, an ongoing training and pruning in my life.
I was trying to think, is this training or pruning? Maybe mm-hmm. pruning, because in the aspect of it's a good thing, mm-hmm. but maybe God's teaching you to say no, mm-hmm. like cut it back.
Yeah, I'd say so. And be okay with passing up on a sale, or, you know, like not getting the thing like right now, and like waiting or being more like planning ahead for like future expenses is something that I haven't like historically been good at. Mm-hmm. So just trying to like grow in discipline and like not always being spontaneous all the time.
Yeah. So what would be the opposite voice in your head? Like what would be the whisper on your shoulder?
YOLO. I mean, I don't know, because yeah, it's hard because like when I was growing up, my mom, she really liked shop, and like we went shopping a lot. And even with my dad, like after my mom passed away, like I feel like that was kind of a coping mechanism. I'm not trying to excuse myself, but just that was just where I'm coming from. Like if we didn't talk about things, he'd just be like, okay, you go to the mall and mm-hmm. here's some money, like go to the mall.
Yeah.
So just for a long time, I feel like I was kind of numbing things by like shopping, which I mean, I don't really do that as much anymore, but you can definitely get like, I guess, a high from purchasing something. So just trying to like not like escape from reality, but like being more content with like, okay, this is where God has placed me, these are the resources that God has given me, and like mm-hmm. I need to be responsible because like it's not just impacting me, it's impacting my family. So and not being selfish.
I realized at some point I was like, do I spend money every day? And I think there was a point where I did. I'm like, whoa, is this necessary? Like,
yeah.
And then I started to think, I don't know if it's necessary, so it must be mm-hmm. some kind of addiction. Mm-hmm. I don't know if addiction's really strong, but something you set a high, or just something that I, mm-hmm. an impulse that I just didn't have self-control. Yeah. So I think about, once I realized that, I don't always press click.
Like, yeah, I can relate to that a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every day. It's like, actually, no, there'll be another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To buy this thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that something you and David talk about, or something that you kind of are just realizing on your own?
Yeah, I've kind of, well, David and I definitely talk about it a lot. And yeah, he's definitely framed it in those similar terms of like, I mean, if you had any other sort of like addiction, we would, you know, do things to like set you up for success and not failure, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So but I'm not like, I was very spontaneous when we first got married, very reckless, and just did whatever I want, and I wasn't even considerate. So things have improved a lot.
Yeah,
I still have a ways to go.
I think again for me it's like an issue of self-control, but also again kind of wraps back around to trust again. It's like,
yeah,
do I trust that God's going to satisfy me, or I'm going to take matters into mm-hmm. my own hands for what I think I want, need, deserve, mm-hmm. or just have literally an appetite for, like a fleshly appetite. Mm-hmm. Christianity is not God wants to take all the good things mm-hmm. away from you and you follow the rules and mm-hmm. fall in line and look like a robot and all that. It's like, no, he actually wants to give blessing, but you have to walk his path. Mm-hmm. You got to... that's the way to get it. There's mm-hmm. not, you know, other ways. So, yeah, just trusting, like, I actually, again, capturing, having my imagination captured, what would it be like to let God give me the blessing and then yeah. actually know what that feels like. And then once you get an appetite for that, you want to keep going back because you know that's not the fleeting thing.
Mm-hmm. Because it is fleeting.
The
so
other
fleeting,
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other yeah. way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sometimes I think not in the way of denial, but God, I want to let the blessing be from you and, like, what you decide to give
yeah.
In your way. And sometimes it's really sweet because sometimes those things come in such an intimate way that you're like, God, you know me. There's that thing only came into my hands because you know what that means to me. Or
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, yeah, trusting him more, I think. So what is this about waking up early? Is that something you don't
yeah.
like?
So waking up early is pretty necessary if I, like, want to be in the Word, and has been a struggle, like, my whole life, kind of. But my son used to wake up at, like, 5:30 every morning. So now he sleeps in a little bit later, but I want to be able to, like, get up and, you know, not just, like, jump into the day, like, as soon as my kids are up. Like, just yeah. be able to, like, be in the Word and, you know, set the tone for the day and not just, like, have the tone of the day be like,
yeah,
good morning, I just rolled out of bed. Not that some days are like that, especially if, like, the kids have been up for whatever reason or with sickness or something, but not, like, making that a habit.
Mm-hmm. So is that happening?
It is, yeah, it is. It didn't happen this morning because my son was up, like, a lot because he's sick, and we didn't get any sleep last night, but it is happening, yeah.
Does David wake up with you, or what yeah. does that look like in your
mm-hmm.
home?
Okay. Yeah, it helps, like, when we're both, like, on the same page and we're like, we're gonna both get up at the same time. And he'll, like, sometimes he'll, like, go out and, like, cut some bouquets and, like, do stuff at the garden, and I'll, like, do stuff in the home and be in the Word. So, but we could get better about, like, reading together. That's, like, something that I've been wanting to do. We usually read independently.
Ryan and I do at this point too.
Yeah.
All right, you got one more thing here.
So this has been something that I already mentioned, but, not being self-reliant. So, like, running to God first, instead of relying on my own strength to, like, muscle through situations or get myself out of hard situations, has been, like, a continual training, I'd say. And has been, like, it's been more apparent that this needs to happen, like, since I've had children. Just, like, some days, like, when they're newborns, just feeling like, God, I can't do this. Or, like, an example I'm thinking of is, like, when Riker was 6 weeks old and he had RSV and we had to take him to the hospital, and we were there for several days and just feeling like, I'm so tired. I can't, God, I can't do this. I can't, I don't know. I don't even have, like, the energy to, like, open my eyelid.
Yeah.
Like, please give me the strength to, like, get through, not just get through, but, like, glorify you and, like, be patient and kind to my family and not be a jerk and not be, like, snappy with my kids. And mm-hmm. I don't know. But that's been an ongoing thing.
Yeah. So many times I think I approach God's throne with my arms full and, like, see, God, look at all the ways I'm taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, honey, put those things down.
Yeah.
Open your hands and let me put myself in there.
Yeah.
But
it's really hard because, like, a lot of things that are, you know, like, directed towards moms, you know, self-care, like, if only you do these things, like, then you'll be good. You've got to prioritize you, and, like, it's just kind of pervasive in culture, so it's hard to sort of, like, get yourself on, like, what is really true here? Like, is this going to, like, bring me the peace that, like, everyone's saying that I will, or?
Well, in a lot of ways, even those three things that you mentioned in this category made me think of what you shared in the other category of just what you are praying for in your family is more gratitude or joy. You said joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't come without gratitude. That's what mm-hmm. I meant to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was this verse that taught in Colossians that said, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. So right away that verb is received. So it's nothing that we did on our own.
Mm.
can be self-reliance there. Live in him, being rooted and built up. And that, again, made me think of the garden analogy. And then the built up is like that growing aspect that God desires from us. And then how does that happen? Because this is a command. Established in the faith just as you were taught and overflowing with gratitude. So I was thinking, if we don't constantly go back to his word, we'll just forget what is we're taught. Mm-hmm. And the point is like to receive open hand with open hands and then just keep going back to what we were taught, because that's what we're, that's the established soil that we're in, and that's how we grow. But he says, I just love that you will be overflowing with gratitude. I'm like, okay, well, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. So then how do I get there?
Yeah.
And it's first to remember that my hands came to Jesus opened with nothing. That's how we go to the communion table. Mm-hmm. And then, just constantly being established in like the rich soil of his word and trusting that he'll grow us. But I just love that overflowing aspect, because what that means is you're going to splash other people. You're going to splash your kids. You're going to splash your husband. You're going to splash, you know, you have so much of it. It has to go somewhere. That's what I was thinking about. All right. You're weeding. It's kind of, it's a longer section. It's a lot.
We don't have to do all of them.
Let's do it. But I want you to share, if you don't mind, what your mindset was coming into today. You wrote me a message, Laura, I want to do this.
Yeah, I just feel like sometimes as Christians, we can kind of like downplay our sin or be like, but it could be like something that you're like really struggling with, or I don't know, just feeling like I gotta make it seem like I got it all together. I don't know. Some people can be like that. I can be like that. I have been like that.
So your mindset was you just kind of want to be trusting in God and share some things that maybe aren't the easiest to share.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, my perspective was when I said you have a lot there, it's not because I was like, wow, you have,
you're messed up.
I wasn't thinking that. I was like, whoa, God is doing an overhaul in you. Yeah. It seems to me that there's a point where you must be like, okay, God, have your way with me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, well, then I'm going to overhaul all this. And that to me is like just taking you from one degree of glory to another. So I actually think it's like his grace in your life that's seeing, it's weird to say, but seeing more sin in your life, it's God's grace to you, because he wants you free. Mm-hmm. So in a way, this is like a grace section.
Yeah, it definitely is. That's kind of how I saw it too. And it's like, I'm not necessarily like every single day, like struggling with each and every one of these things on the list. Mm-hmm. It's more like sort of ongoing. Like I've noticed these are like habitual, like things that I'm working through and I'm not, haven't overcome yet.
Sure.
So
let's go for it.
Okay. So in my weeding section, I put selfishness and impatience. I was specifically thinking about those things with my kids. Sometimes I'm pretty patient with my kids, but I can always be more patient. And if I'm feeling like annoyed with my kids, why am I feeling annoyed? Like just trying to examine like why am I being impatient? Ultimately, like, it's because I'm selfish and I'm just like maybe being inconvenienced by them or like their behavior. And it's on my children's job to like never do anything wrong and like always make me happy. And I don't know, just noticing that in myself. People may see me as like very patient, but I know that I can be impatient with them. You know what I mean? So just wanting to grow and not, these are things that I just want like weeded out.
Yeah. I found it helpful for me because I'm also impatient to try to imagine more in story form what it, what I as a quote unquote character look like as the impatient person.
Oh my gosh, I never thought about it like that.
And so my mind went, because the podcast is you, my mind went to garden.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, you know, you could do the helicopter mom analogy, but I was thinking, what would it be like to think of the helicopter gardener who's like growing a flower, in this case would be your kids, and just overdoing it, like in impatience. And of course, this could be that you're impatient with them for the way they're just being kids or something like that. But it can also be likened to like you just don't have time to like step back and wait. I don't know. So I was imagining if someone made this funny short film that put it on like a speeded up tempo of this gardener just constantly like messing with the soil and like overwatering it and like doing all these crazy things, and the flower's kind of like, okay, give me space to grow, versus trusting God. I don't know, with impatience, I think it can correspond, because a lot of times when you're growing in one area of your life, it's going to affect another area of your life. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to guess that you're not just impatient with your kids. Like, there's other areas that maybe you don't see that play into this mm-hmm. in
even
different
just like
places.
The phase of life that we're in. Like, I just think ahead to, like, wouldn't it be nice, like, when the kids are a little bit older, like, all the things we could do, and mm-hmm. like, we won't be like having a baby. I really cherish the stage that my son is in, but, like, I just look forward to, like, all the cool things that we could do when they're a little bit older, and mm-hmm. just, like, being impatient with even just their growth, and, like, wanting to, like, speed up my life, and mm-hmm. like, I don't want to be doing that.
So all these steps in, like, mm-hmm. gratitude and trust, even saying no to, like, buying things, it's all mm-hmm. like training. Mm-hmm. It's all interrelated to who we are. Like, I identify with so much of what you're saying. And so just take heart that every little step you take to trusting God isn't compartmentalized, actually. Yeah. It's going to overflow in general. And what that's going to do, going to, like, unclog your waterway, where actually that joy will be overflowing, or that gratitude will, because you're, like, getting all the things out,
like,
of the dam.
Yeah, get the gunk out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, unclogging a drain, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to be beautiful.
So the next two have to do with, like, marriage and, like, submitting to and respecting my husband as the head of the family, and maybe not always, like, trusting him or, like, letting him lead. This has been, like, a constant, not a tension, but we've just grown so much, like, since we first got married. Even me just saying this is a big deal. It's a really big deal. When we first got married, I wouldn't even have uttered these words. I don't know. It's in the Bible, and that's, like, problematic. It's very problematic, but that's just where I was, and that's where my heart was. I was very, I don't know, obstinate and, like, just kicking and screaming.
How do you feel about saying it now?
Yeah. I feel, like, more free, and I feel, like, free and not ashamed, I guess, that it's, like, something I'm struggling with, and I don't know, or embarrassed.
So you put not trusting God / mm-hmm. my husband. Is that order important to you?
Yes. So ultimately, just maybe not, like, trusting God's plan for my life, and, like, how my husband could be the person to, like, help execute that sometimes. Like, seeing, like, what God has for me is good. The whole going back to, like, children being a blessing and things like that. Just feeling like, God, it's hard for me to see, like, currently how this would be good. All I'm seeing is how much of a burden this could be, and, like, mm-hmm. how painful and hard this could or will be. And just, I think that's where I was going with that. Like, even decisions with, like, schooling we've been having, like, those have been more frequent. And us being united, like, you're talking about the unity thing, reminding each other that we're teammates. And, like, even though he's, like, I'm submitting to his leadership, it's not like he's a tyrant and, like, he's just going his own way. Like, he's never been like that, and he hasn't seemed like he will turn into that. It's, I don't know, something in me is, like, just rebellious and just still doesn't trust.
Ryan has to tell me sometimes, Laura, I'm never outside of God's authority over me. So, mm-hmm. and he's like, even if I'm wrong, I have the Holy Spirit. God will convict me. So in this mm-hmm. sense, then you're not trusting God with me, because I might make mistakes.
Yeah.
But God will show that to me. Yeah. And, you know, are you going to help me even if that happens? Mm-hmm. But he said, overall, I believe what I'm doing is listening to God's spirit. So in certain decisions, like, say, where we if we might disagree or something like mm-hmm. that. So that really stuck with me of him. Because your order stuck out to me, not trusting God, and then you said my husband. And then mm-hmm. because Ryan's constantly pointing me back to, you're not trusting that God's working in my life. Yeah. That I'm, mm-hmm. you're assuming that I'm just going out on my own, like, way here. But I think I see in your husband, too, like, he wants to follow God. He wants to do what God says, and mm-hmm. he wants to grow in wisdom and all mm-hmm. of these things. And I'm going to guess that he's praying for it, just like Ryan is, too. So,
Yeah, he's not, like, seeking his own glory in the work that he's doing. And it doesn't seem like Ryan is either. Like, they're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the lie of Satan is to divide us mm-hmm. and, like, whisper this in our ear and make us think something that's not true. Ryan's challenge to me has taught me to think of it kind of like a picture in my mind, like, okay, really quickly, I've got to stomp on this thing, and don't let it like fester in my mind, and start to grow to be a more faithful person and not trusting in what I see immediately with my eyes.
That's really encouraging.
Because ultimately, the last thing I want to say in this section is, if we're in a story, like, these opportunities are going to arise. They're not going to go away in your life. This will probably be a theme in the lives of women.
Yeah.
And so just knowing, if you kind of cast your imagination to the story, then think, oh, you know, the snake's in the house. Got to stomp it. And it's not like you let it slither around and stay there. It's like, no, you get something and you pitchfork it and you get it out of there, you know? And so you just deal with it. So, yeah. What's next?
So when I was writing this, I was thinking like, I was thinking current season, but I'm also thinking like within the past couple years too.
Okay.
So I wrote down lust and just wrote that just because God not has completely removed that like from me, but like it's something that I struggle with like a lot less frequently. Like it used to kind of occupy like my mind a lot of the time. But not that I've like completely overcome it, but it's not something that I'm like battling with on a like minute by minute basis or anything like that. So
why did you want to share it?
I guess because not that many women talk about it. And I was encouraged by Ashley Anderson talking about this like in her section too, just feeling like it's kind of really taboo and I don't know, embarrassing, I guess. But just feeling like I wanted to let ladies know like they're not alone, and like it's been really encouraging like when I open up to people about it and like just, you know, the conversations you can have, just feeling like, okay, I'm not crazy or I'm not totally unusual.
Yeah.
I don't know. So
is that something that you say you has been something that's part of your life in the longer terms, or just maybe even after you get married? It's funny how maybe you can commit yourself to someone and then Satan's like, oh, really? You're going to do that? Well,
yeah.
I'm going to tempt you this way.
I mean, it's sort of been like an ongoing thing. But yeah, like when we got married, I thought, oh, we're good now. I'm not really going to struggle with lust, but just being like, oh, wow, this didn't fix things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where did you go from there?
Just a lot of prayer. Because truly, like, I couldn't overcome it on my own. Just a lot of prayer and asking God to, like, remove it from me or just, like, help me to, like, and putting my hands to other things, too.
Okay.
Just, like, I don't know. Having less, like, idle time, too, helped. It's been, I don't know particularly why I put it in weeding, but I just wanted to put it there because it's, like, constantly been, like, popping up, and it's like a weed that just like need to pick it out of the ground.
Yeah. So any of the four that you mentioned, or wait, five things you mentioned before, do you think worry or fear undergird any of these?
Yeah, probably like all of them. Probably because fear, like with selfishness, fear that like God isn't enough and that I need to do what I can to like fulfill myself, or I'll be unhappy or dissatisfied, or I don't know, won't be complete or something. With like submitting to my husband and trusting God, just like fear that like maybe a decision my husband will make will like be a bad one. Like what's going to happen then? Will God still have me then? Like, I don't know. Just feeling like I need to be like in control, and if I'm not, then things are out of my control. But ultimately, like God is in control of everything. So even if, like, my worst fear came true or something, then, like, God would still have me, and, like, God would still, like, work through that to, like, produce something good.
Yeah. So your last thing in this category is about fear also.
Yeah, so fears about future kids. Maybe, like, fear about their salvation and fear about, like, are we raising them right? Just fears about, like, what if we make a wrong decision here? Like, what will happen?
Do you think this is something that's kind of internal, or do you find yourself expressing it out?
I talk talk about it with David. Yeah. And I sort of, like, mull it over sometimes in my head. But I definitely, like, I'm at the point where I can, like, express it to David and be like, we can talk through it. He's really good about not talking me down, but, like,
yeah.
Like, if I get really worried about something, he's very calm. And, like, over the years, that's become, like, more... It kind of used to be the reverse, honestly.
I was going
to
say,
like, when we first got married, it was very much the reverse. Yes. And now he's, like, really stepped into his own and, like, really is a leader. And it used to be a lot more, like, he would have really bad anxiety. And, like, I'd have to talk him down and be like, everything's going to be okay. And now it's sort of the reverse, which is kind of amazing. But, I mean, it's not like I'm never there for him either. But it's more frequently him reassuring me and, like, reminding me, like, God's promises. Which is really beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. A couple things I want to tease out here. Like the first one is someone who also worries a lot. Thinking about Ephesians, in Ephesians 1, and it says in there that we, in a lot of ways, we need the Spirit's eyes. We need, like, the Spirit's wisdom. And so, again, like, being people of faith, and trusting what God says and then praying for his eyes. So I think a prayer that I've been praying more recently is that he just washes my eyes or gives me new eyes to see what's in front of me, or go to him for wisdom about what I think that I'm seeing. And I totally don't do this perfectly. And Ryan really has to call me out a lot more. So it's not even just our eyes, because what it really is, it's actually the eyes of our heart.
Yeah.
And that's what Ephesians is talking about. So even, just thinking about praying that prayer, or again, trying to visualize or imagine, like, it may seem like I'm just looking at a situation, but in a sense, if we trust the Bible, it's saying our heart is looking at this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And our heart, without the Spirit's wisdom, is actually not seeing truly, you know, especially with things like fear, because there's a lot of things that have come up in my life in the later years, and I don't know if I just feel more vulnerable or more trusting to actually bear those things out. But it's kind of like I never expected to have so many fears that have been coming up more recently. I'm like, what's going on with me? What's wrong right now? So and then the last thing that did you want to say anything there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, is where does, like, love turn into fear? It's like we love something so much
we don't want to let it, like, with your kids, like, not.
It's almost like that flower garden thing, like overdoing
like
it.
Like the helicopter parent. Yeah. David was actually just reminding me of that, like, what is our expectation of our children? It's not like that they're going to be, like, sinless, like, and do everything perfectly. It's like, no, they're going to sin, but, like, the goal is, like, for them to repent and, like, you know, like, we're going to always be there and, like, forgive them, and, you know, that's just gonna be, like, the ongoing cycle. We were actually talking about, like, sexuality and just me thinking ahead to, like, teenage years and just being like, God, I feel so unprepared for this. I don't even know where to begin. David was like that's not our expectation. Like, they're gonna make mistakes. We can't, I don't know.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Ryan even offered that challenge to Oliver yesterday, because he did something naughty that he's, to my knowledge, never done before. It was pretty bold of him to do. And Ryan he's like, what do you think? I'm asking, do you think that, because I think Oliver prayed, and he was praying and confessing, and he was saying, God, help me never do this ever again. And Ryan's like, hold up. He stopped Oliver's prayer.
Yeah.
He said, Oliver, do you think that God wants you to pray to never need him again?
Yeah.
Or to give you your daily bread and help you for today and give you what you need just for today. And so Oliver was like, I think I'm supposed to say never sin again. And I'm like,
wow,
you know, and so he's obviously got it wrong there. So then it was an opportunity to instruct him and show him God's words called sanctification. You know, Ryan got to remind Oliver of what he's already been told. Like, it's actually daily bread. You go to God. Over and over again, we live a life of, like, repentance and faith. So totally. We're in the same boat as you. I think that's all I wanted to ask you. So except maybe, like, you've been I don't want to say managing it, but you've said you've been talking to David and other things like that.
Yeah, Yeah, it hasn't been, like, out of control fear. Like, it hasn't turned into, like, anxiety, I'd say. Like, fortunately, anxiety is not something that I, like, struggle with terribly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, I would have said yes, that I do struggle with that. But that's, I have been experiencing, like, more peace. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Perfect segue into your harvest, Ashley.
Yeah. So, we talked about this a little bit. But something that I've been harvesting is embracing my femininity and my female friendships. And previously sort of like fought against it and rejected it. And historically, like in my early life, I had mostly male friends. So just continuing to like experience that harvest and like the blessings that are found in that. And I don't know, in unexpected ways.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. You got some good ones here.
Yeah. To experience joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. So I'm trying to think of like a particular difficult circumstance I was thinking of when I wrote this. But overall, I'd say like the sort of like family motto or like goal of ours is to like have joy be like present in our home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like fighting for that and like experiencing more of that, even if we like, if we have, like, an argument or something. It's not, like, previously, like, years ago or maybe even, like, a year or two ago, we would be, like, sort of, like, lingering in that or, like, just letting it, like, fester or just, like, not wallowing in it, but just, like, that just affects, like, the whole mood and, like, affects our children, too. Like, it's not like they don't see mom and dad or, you know, angry at each other or whatever. But we have been harvesting more, like, joy in this season and, like, more unity than we have in the past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. So it's been really sweet. So I also included gratitude when we mentioned that, but I don't think I explicitly said that earlier. But, like, been harvesting gratitude for what God has given me and my family. Earlier on, I struggled a lot more with, like, envy of other women and maybe, like, even competition, just feeling, like, not quite sure, like, what it was in particular that I was, like, envious of. Like, a perceived, like, state of their family or, like, perceived state of their marriage or I don't know.
Yeah.
Just anything. And I've been realizing, like, that, like, it's a waste of time and just, like, energy and I don't know. It's not something that I've overcome on my own, but it's, like, more, I'm, like, putting my hands to, like, work in my own household and, like, not that I don't ever do it, but, like, trying to compare our situation, like, less to other people's and just realizing, like, even if what you see, like, looks really good, like, everybody has, like, sin struggles and, like, nobody's marriage is perfect or their family is perfect, so.
And you wrote contentment, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I first started staying home with Emerson in particular, I was pretty discontent, I'd say. Feeling like I was missing out on something, maybe. Even though I don't even know, like, if I could have pinpointed, like, what did I feel like I was missing out on. And God has, like, provided me the things that I thought that I was, like, missing out on with, like, friendship with other women. In ways that I didn't. If I tried to, like, do that on my own, I think it would have been busted. So, and I kind of already mentioned this, like, the unity in marriage, like, we've been going through a season of more unity in certain ways, although, like, we have, like, ongoing things, like, in the background that we're always, like, still working through, but this season has been a season of more unity. And the last one, I've been experiencing a lot of the harvest of our kids being excited to read the Bible, and Riker, he'll, like, sing, he can say Jesus, and he's like, well, sing Jesus Loves Me, and, like, Jesus Loves Little Children, and things like that. And I know it's, like, small, but it's always really encouraging. But for
some
reason,
where did he learn those songs?
I taught him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he'll, like, we sing this, like, hello song when we, like, go to music. And we'll say, like, the kid's saying, like, hello to Riker, hello to Emmy. He'll say, hello to Jesus.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, it seems, like, insignificant, but it means a lot.
Every single thing that you just mentioned is an example where you died to yourself and you were buried under the ground and there's something that rose to new life in your harvest. And God took that thing that was laid down and he like put breathed life into it. And wow, you have so many beautiful things here that you just said it yourself. It seems like a little thing, but it's like, no, it's a living thing. Like it's a real, not a small thing. It's God is like, all of these things are like stored in heaven as treasures. Like God is so pleased with you. He's so, he's so pleased with you. He's so proud of you. He's using you for his kingdom, like actually using you. And you're letting, his life course through your life and out into others around you. And so many of these things aren't just about you. Like I said, these are things that have spilled over into others. So you're just allowing yourself to be used by God, but it was like came through a method of laying something down or dying to self. So I just thank you for your example, like I said at the beginning of your other podcast. And I just really am so encouraged by you. And it encourages me to do the same when I look at your life and your family's life. So praise God.
Thanks. Yeah, praise God. For real.
Yay. And so, you're on a big journey. Yeah. Maybe you're not going to France, but no. God's presence is with you, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Have you brought something to close us out this evening?
Yes. I wanted to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Okay. And you are dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in a local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the master gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.